Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. There are a lot of personal finance bloggers and TikTokers and Instagrammers and YouTubers and all that that are really doing a great job capturing the zeitgeist and speaking about money in ways that a younger generation can hear. Nathan Kennedy is one of those people. He is a personal finance content creator on TikTok, on Instagram, and the host of the podcast New Money with Nathan Kennedy. He joins us now from Ancaster, Ontario. Hello there.
How are we doing? Thank you for having me.
I am well, thank you. The personal finance conversation is becoming much broader, more nuanced. There are lots and lots of new voices. What did you feel was missing? Why did you feel like you wanted to pick up the microphone?
I just wanted to do it and speak English because I feel like there's a lot of jargon and a lot of things that people don't really understand, and kind of it's not broken down in a way. And so I felt like there was this gap for, you know, this information to be communicated as if, you know, I always say, like, I'm going out to get a drink with you and I'm just explaining something to you as an old friend. And so I felt like there was a huge gap for that. And that's why I just started to create content.
And where did the seed of your interest in personal finance coming from? And I find, having talked to lots of people about this, there seems to be two paths. There's one where it was a seed planted and you were raised in a world in which this was a conversation you talked about all the time. And then the other sort of persona are people who had nothing. And then suddenly, for some reason, a light bulb went off and they learned everything that there was to know. Which are you?
The latter. I would say, you know, it started off as me thinking I knew something about money. And when I was in university, I realized that I didn't. And I was actually I had quite poor financial habits. So I went down the rabbit hole of, you know, consumed every piece of content on the internet on personal finance, absolutely became enamored and love it. And so I started to really get into it. And I got to the point where I was like, well, wow, I think I got a little bit of, you know, something, a little bit of personality, whatever. Like, why don't I, you know, do it and put my spin on it and just gave it a shot when I was in school.
What do you think your spin is?
I just think I try to talk very informally. Like, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, looser on the edges. You know, sometimes I'll swear,
to
whatever.
Use the phrase, what's up, bruh? Yeah. Is that just, you know, Googled cool phrases for people 20 years younger than me. And that's what I found.
Cool. Yeah. You know, a little jargon and things like that. But I just think that a lot of finance, I mean, it's one of the most stuffy industries that there are. And so I just felt like there's a huge opportunity to just kind of talk to my generation in a way where it's really chill. Like, it's just really, you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just like, hey man, some cool stuff out here. You know, I think you should know about it. And if you don't, I don't care. Like, it's all good.
Give me an example of a topic that you really felt A, that you could sink your teeth into, and B, that resonated with your audience in a way that surprised you.
Negotiating. It's not really, you know, it's not something that is typically talked about in personal finance. But I do think it has a huge implication when it comes to, you know, your job and salary and raises. I think there's a huge financial aspect to that. And so I started to do content around negotiating and saying, hey, just sort of opening up the topic of, yeah, you can ask for a raise. Like, you can negotiate when you're getting a new job. And I found that a lot of people have some deep-seated disagreements around, you know, it, because they conflate it with being ungrateful, and take what you can get because the next guy's going to take what you have, kind of thing. And so that was a huge thing that I had no idea when I started, because I just thought that was something that we should all be doing, is negotiating our salaries and raises and things like that, and trying to maximize our income, right? Because we can work towards our financial goals. And I got met with a lot of pushback, in good and bad ways. So it was one of the craziest things that I've come across since I started talking about this stuff.
One of the interesting differences amongst those of different ages is investing. And it's not so much the knowledge, it's the lived experience of having been through market corrections. So you're young, you have never been through a market correction. I'm old. I have been through many. So I'm less futzed by a 30 or 40% correction because I've seen it multiple times before. When you look at that broad topic area of investing, how do you account for the fact that you simply haven't lived through what other people have lived through? And you will definitely need to live through a correction at some point.
Yeah, I definitely try to have a respect for it. I think it's something that it is interesting. I always say that, you know, Gen Z and things like that, a lot of Gen Z is very interested in crypto, and crypto is an incredibly volatile asset. Some people have kind of gone through some massive corrections. Now, you're talking about broader market corrections, you know, GFC, dot-com crash, things like that. Absolutely not. Like, I haven't lived through that. I try to always keep that in mind. And you don't know how it is until that actually happens. So I just try to study history as much as I can. I try to share that with my audience as much as I can, so we can have a respect for that and continue to buy and hold through thick and thin.
How do you find the balance of current Nathan versus future Nathan, the dashing dude of 55 years old or 65 years old, who's going to want cash and not have to work for a living at some point? How do you make that call? Because you, like all young people, are faced with tremendous temptation, both in terms of things you would like to buy and bars you would like to go out to.
Yeah, I definitely think people are quite extreme in their views on this. I think you can have your cake and eat it too here, as long as you structure your finances in a way where you're paying yourself first, you're making sure you're getting your RSP matching at work, and you're maxing out your TFSA and doing all those fundamental things. And with the excess money, you can just kind of have fun with. So if you're making sure that your priorities are in check, and you have a little bit of discretionary income afterward, then blow all of it, because all the big rocks are taken care of. And so I really try to implement that. I say, hey, listen, you can become a millionaire at 50, 60 and invest in index funds and things like that. And you can also go to the bar, have a few drinks and not have to worry about it. I think you can have both of those things.
What is your take on real estate? Do you own? If you don't own, are you squirreling away money for a down payment?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I, for the longest time, was saving up for an investment property. But right now I just have some money in some REITs. And I think, yeah, especially in Southern Ontario, the market is quite far away from where Gen Z would like it to be. But I definitely think that you are seeing, with rates going up, I think the market is cooling off a bit. I don't think there's going to be any sort of crash or anything like that. But right now I'm just in some REITs. I'm probably looking to buy in the next few years, just residentially, but I'm more so just investing back in my business in terms of that. So
real estate investment trust, for those who are like, wait, Nathan said no jargon, and then he's all reading me here.
Oh yeah. Jeez, my bad.
We're talking about the yield curve and derivatives at some point. What is your number one call to action for people of your generation? And I I'm not asking you to reveal your age, but I know you're younger than a traditional millennial. You're relatively fresh out of your undergrad. What's your number one piece of advice?
Yeah, I just think for Canadians, it's max out your TFSA or try to work towards, you know, even if you do have excess room, trying to at least get to let's say it's 6K for next year or this year. Try to work towards that, right? I think that's an easy start. I think there's a lot of parameters around an RSP and that money being locked up, but TFSA, it's quite, fluid, and you can kind of just put it in, get started, introduce yourself to investing, get a good brokerage, low fee, cost brokerage.
That based on the assumption that the individual has already eliminated their credit card debt?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Have that assumption. They would hear your advice and think, oh yeah, great, I'm doing that. And they're sitting on $2,000 and an outstanding balance.
No, absolutely. I mean, like, listen, you're not going to beat 19.99% with an investment return. So I would say, yeah, there's definitely a priority. Like, first, make sure you're taking care of that high interest debt. And then, I would say emergency fund, have some cash, take care of that high interest debt, pay that down, and then work towards investing. But I think for a lot of 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds that I'm talking to, fortunately, they haven't had a chance to get into credit card debt. So, put the money into the TFSA first.
Let's not give them that chance.
Exactly.
Nathan, thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, Bruce.
Nathan Kennedy, personal finance content guy on TikTok, on Instagram. He also hosts a podcast called New Money. He joined us from Ancaster, Ontario.